What's up, ODs and eyewear lovers? We're talking the latest trends in tech and eye care, so sit back, relax, and defocus.
Greetings, colleagues, and welcome to the Defocus Media Podcast. It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover, and today I'm hanging out with a global star in the eye care industry. Yes, a global star. Friends and family, I'd like to welcome our friend, our family, Miss Elvira Derosepian. How are you doing today?
I am doing fantastic. It's great to catch up again.
Yeah. I just saw you not too long ago out in San Francisco where the weather was right.
Yep.
And we were hanging out over at the iInnovate conference, which was quite spectacular, wasn't it?
That was amazing, actually. It was my first time actually getting to meet a lot of influencers in this field, and one of them being you, who I've been following for a long, long time.
Oh, thank you.
Welcome.
Well, you know, you're an influencer as well. I've been following you as well, and you drop a lot of great content. But before we get into that great content, I want you to tell the listeners, the followers, all about yourself and how you discovered a love for eye care.
Absolutely. So I am in the middle of classes. I was just like anyone else going to college at the time, and I have been working in ophthalmology and optometry for about 10 years now. So I started when I was just a freshman in college, and I started getting more and more into it because I've always known that I like eye care, but I never really knew the depths of it until I started working in it. So I started with clinics, then I started with doing research on the side regarding the eye. I would write about it. And then next thing you know, I was looking for more job opportunities. I wanted to change, because I am not a creature of habit at all. So I started getting into lens crafters, and that retail aspect of it really taught me a lot about glasses in general and the optics of it and eye health, stuff that I didn't really know about that optometry could actually envelop. After that, I started getting into private practice and working as an assistant. So all this time I've worked as a scribe, a technician, a contact lens trainer. Currently, I'm at Kaiser Permanente. I'm doing the same thing, working with optometry patients. And I do a lot of scribing. I do a lot of technician work, scanning, you name it.
Well, that's awesome. You know, before I even went to optometry school, I actually kind of had the same background. I actually was selling glasses, and I really fell into love with the way that, you know, patients would smile as soon as they put the glasses on and look out at a distance or read something, and they just felt like their entire life changed. So from there, I went from selling glasses to becoming a technician, to an assistant manager, to managing an office. And then finally, I was like, you know what? I want to be the one that prescribes the prescription or writes the prescription to help people see sharper and clearer. So then I went to optometry school. So it's the path for me. I've enjoyed every second of it. Vision is a very precious gift. And as you had mentioned before, if you really are into the eye, it'll really change your world, because there are multiple outlets that are available when it comes to the world of optometry. And one thing that I love about you is that you really tapped into that. For the folks that may not know, you are the face, the brand behind Overheard Optometry.
Yep. And I'm very, very proud of it. So as you were saying, with that experience, I've learned so much about eye care that I myself am trying to get into optometry school too. And even with them in the midst of studying for it and studying for the OAT and prepping my applications, I loved this project with Overheard Optometry so much that it's not just a job for me on the side. It's more than that. It's a hobby for me. It's my interest. And I'm so proud to have created this. And funny story, I didn't even have a plan of creating an Instagram page. It kind of just happened.
Well, that's the thing. When you do something that you love, you know, at some point in time, it turns into something that's bigger. And then a lot of times it actually turns into something that's actually financially rewarding. But let's talk about this page. You keep saying page. Are we talking a Facebook page, an Instagram page? Let the listeners know what we're talking about here.
So I started Overheard Optometry back in October of 2016. It was like my baby was born, as though I remember the date. I was scrolling through Instagram. It was literally a weeknight after work. And I was scrolling through Instagram, and I came across a page called Overheard LA. And then I discovered that there's an Overheard New York, as well as other Overheard pages. And I'm thinking, wow, how have I never heard about these pages? And why do we not have one for optometry? Because Lord, everybody knows we need one for optometry. I mean, so it was I am the type of impulsive person where if I know I have a good idea, I'm not going to sit on it. I'm not going to wait on it and try to figure out the perfect logo and perfect ideas. I just started designing a logo right then and there at home. And I figured, let me keep this really simple. Let me continue writing these stories down. I mean, I was writing them to begin with, just keeping it in my little notepad on my phone. But then I realized, no, I can actually have an idea with this and I can make something out of it. Next thing you know, I remember the very first story that I posted, and it's one that all of us in the entire world get on a day-to-day basis. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is this going to puff air in my eyes? And it's like, it's the Optimat machine. How is that going to... I don't know. I feel like even if they saw a coffee maker, they would say, is this going to puff air in my eyes, right?
You know, I get that question at least 10 times a day. I'm like, clearly you can see this is just a pencil. It's not shooting anything out at you, all right? Yeah, I'm just writing down a note, so just relax. No puff of air is coming. So yeah, I get that question all day, yeah, every day.
Yeah. And that's exactly what happened. That was my first one. And I talked to myself through it all. And I said, let's just see how far this goes. I had no idea what I was going to do with this page. But I figured I could post one or two stories a day and see how this goes. And I started getting all these followers and garnering all this attention over the next few weeks after that. And I realized I already had 100 followers in the next few weeks. And I realized, whoa, not only are people around my area in Los Angeles liking these posts, but I'm getting people from other states trickling in and liking my posts also. So I continued. And the next thing you know, people are actually messaging me stories. And I have so many stories up to this day that I haven't even had a chance to put my own stories.
Oh, wow. That's a good problem to have.
It's an incredible problem to have. And it's something that's very strange for me because I have been trying to get into optometry school myself. So as much as I feel welcomed by optometrists and optometric technicians who are liking it, and even ophthalmologists and all kinds of eye care professionals reaching out to me, at the same time, it's a growing process for me too because I'm trying to get into that field professionally. But this is a big stepping stone for me. And I've been so happy because it's garnered a lot of attention. It's bridging the gap for all kinds of eye care professionals around the world to talk about the same thing. I'm talking orthoptists. I'm talking about opticians, optometrists, ophthalmologists all over the world, chatting with each other on these posts, sending comments, tagging each other, tagging their friends. It's incredible. It's something that I never thought would happen with this page. And it just keeps growing. I'm currently at over 13,000 followers on this page. I have about 8,500 on the Facebook page too. And it's very humbling. It's an awesome development that I've seen with this page.
All right. So let me recap. So basically you have a page, an Instagram account, and what you're doing is basically taking stories or questions that you get in the exam room or somewhere in the practice, or folks are sending you what they experience in the exam room or practice, and you're gathering them all together and posting them on social media. And they're all funny from what I've seen. Is that basically the consensus of everything there?
Exactly. So I'm taking a very comical approach to this. It's nothing serious. It's nothing about discussing diagnoses and issues. I'm not a professional at the end of the day, right? This is simply something funny that people could laugh about at the end of the day.
Absolutely. So let's talk about this a little more in detail. So I know you probably have your top 5 or 10 stories that you love. So I'd love for you just to share with us your top 5 or 10 stories that you received.
Oh my goodness. That is a tough question, Dr. Glover. That is something.
Okay, so I'll do the top 5 because I know you probably got so many, but like at least the top 5 that just really blow your mind.
I mean, oh my gosh, I can't say it off the top of my head right now because I have so many favorites, but I remember one of the funny ones. Okay, so what makes these stories especially funny is when people from different backgrounds share their favorite herbal remedies for, you know, like old wives' tales that have been going on for generations and generations that people proudly will tell their doctor, like, yeah, I drop honey droplets into my eye for macular degeneration. Why is this news to you? They're like, what? That was the most amazing part about working in different offices because the doctors who I would work with they would, after every little like interaction with their patient, it's not to make fun of the patient. It was very like confidential in the sense that she wouldn't tell me what patient it was, but they would, you know, tell me all these stories and I would record it in my book. Like, you need to post this. So honey in the eye is one of my favorite ones. Lemon juice in the eye for curing, you know, styes and different types of eye infection is another top favorite story that I've heard from patients. One of my favorite ones that I personally saw when I was pre-testing a patient once was a man who spoke a different language as his first language. And when I put in the dilation drops, he said that it was spicy. As if it was like spicy Cheetos that he was eating or something. It was the cutest thing. It's adorable. So my favorite stories that I've come across from other people, first of all, I never knew that there were so many variations to the one or two test on during the eye exam. Like, you would think there's only one type of like annoying, like an annoyance that you see in a patient when you do the one or two tests. Go look at my page and try to see how many of these one or two like stories are just making everybody's jaws drop. It's insane. You'll be like, can you read the lowest line? And they'll be like, no, I can't see it. It's too blurry. Okay, what is the lowest line that you can read? I can't read the lowest line. It's like, okay, I'm not asking that question, right? It's frustrating, but it's hilarious at the same time. Other stories that I've found to be very concerning. I once had a story from Greece, Athens, Greece. This was a few years ago. I don't know why I remember the location, but I thought it was really cool. So a woman with children was coming in for an eye exam, and she was a very, very high myope. And when the doctor, you know, gave her her prescription, she asked her, do you wear any contacts? Do you wear any glasses? And she said, no, I'm fine. I just squint if I need to see something. I mean, I could see you're in front of me. She's like, but I'm probably blurry to you. You look at the prescription and it's a minus 16 and a minus 17.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
The whole world is literally right in front of your face. What are you talking about?
Yeah. And it's interesting because these patients exist everywhere. That was one huge realization for me when I realized these patients that we see are not just in your area. They are going to be everywhere.
I know. We always feel like as eye care professionals, like we have this one group of patients that no one else sees. But no, we see that crazy stuff every day, everywhere, whether it's here, whether it's Greece, whether it's Nigeria, whether it's you name the place. It doesn't even matter. But yeah, this crazy stuff, silly stuff exists worldwide.
Definitely. One of my other favorite stories that I received, this is from Norwalk. The optometrist asks, can you read those letters on the board? And there's silence. And then the patient awkwardly goes, I don't know. It's really confusing. It's like looking at another man's wife. It just
Oh my goodness.
Why are you sharing that with the optometrist? What are you saying?
Hey, talk about awkward moment.
It is. And that's the beauty of like being a healthcare professional, I think, because you need to think on the spot constantly. You never know what kind of scenario or dialogue you're going to be like placed into.
That's the truth.
So you also need to know when to answer and when not to answer. Yep, right?
Absolutely.
Sometimes I've realized silence is the best. Like I just nod my head.
While you're nodding your head, you're smiling on the inside, right?
Yep. And laughing. Yeah, because it's another story to my list. Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah. Other stories that are my absolute favorite and a very common one that we see are visual field tests. Like, how often has it been that you will start the visual field exam, explain the test to the patient, and then when the test starts, they forgot to click the button or they forgot the instructions and you need to explain it again? How many times? Come on.
Very, very common. My technicians, actually, we just had a conversation about this the other day. Yep. They were saying, yeah, I told them to click the button, but they didn't click it. Yep. I told them to hold their eyes still, but they kept looking around. And I'm sitting here thinking like, I can see your eye moving. Why are you moving your eye around? Like, come on now. I can see you.
It makes me sad because I know they don't intend for it to be that way. I think it's just confusing for patients. I can tell you right now, I am probably that patient in other departments. So I'm not going to act completely high and mighty because I've caught myself Like, like, I'll always preface it. Like, I'll go to a doctor's office and I'll be like, I know this is probably a ridiculous question and you probably hear this, but still gonna ask. I'm still gonna be annoying. The beauty of it, you know, it's like teaching a foreign language to these patients when you're talking about a visual field test or like dilation drops. So it's a lot of patience that we need to just have as professionals working in this field.
Yeah. You know, the one thing that gets me is, you know, I've been practicing for, you know, under 10 years, but, you know, I repeat the same thing to the same patient year in and year out, you know, about why I'm dilating or why they do the puff of air or no air is coming. It's the same machine. Nothing has changed. You know, after the fifth year, you would think that it would actually click and they would understand, but it doesn't. And I realize they don't see us, you know, multiple times throughout the year, but you know, when you do an exam, that's one of those things that kind of stick with you, you know? So it just blows my mind.
You would think. But that's what's funny about this. And it's amazing to me not only to see people from different states. I'm in California and I'm getting messages from the Midwest. I'm getting people from the East Coast reaching out to me with their stories. It's not just that. It's the fact that I have people from different countries even sending me stories that are very, very similar to what we deal with. So it just makes me feel even better to know that we're not alone.
Right. So where's like the most like odd place that you thought you would never actually get a message from, like in regards to country?
I have a couple actually. And I'm proud to say one of my most recent ones was Guyana.
Ah, okay.
Amazing. I had somebody that, wow, who else? A couple of other unique ones. Iran.
Okay.
Recently. Tehran, Iran. I also had someone send a few stories from Nepal.
Wow.
One from Pakistan. Like, it's incredible.
Yeah, you're truly global.
Yeah, so it's a very humbling thing to see this. The Netherlands. I have a lot of people from England, from Wales, from different parts of the United Kingdom reaching out. Scotland. It's amazing. And I love it. I love putting like the different colored like flags next to the caption. It's cool. It adds diversity.
Yeah, yeah. It's very cool. Yeah, I like that as well. You know, since you have such a global influence and, you know, a widespread fan base there, I know you decided to take full advantage of that. And you actually have a book and also a calendar. Let's talk about that a little bit more in detail because that's pretty cool.
Thank you. So I decided to do more with the page. Well, first of all, it started as a page, right? And it took a couple of months for me to realize maybe I should expand to Facebook too, to see. Even though people don't use Facebook as often as Instagram nowadays, I figured why not? And then it wasn't until somebody messaged me on Facebook, somebody who was an optometrist actually, and she asked me, would you ever consider making this into a book? I would love to purchase this and give it to a colleague of mine or have it in my office. And I said, that's an amazing idea. And I've actually been looking into it. It's nice to think about an idea, but it's also more amazing to have people actually pitching that idea to you and showing that they would want to buy it.
Absolutely.
So I figured, why not? Why not do it? I've always been into publishing and writing stuff anyway. I have a history of writing articles and I've always wanted to publish something. I just never knew it would be this as my first little project. So I got into looking into different publishing companies and nothing, not like a huge publishing company, but I was looking into different places that can print books from Instagram. And it wasn't until I saw Amazon's option where you could just self-publish. You can have your own little thing on your page. They do the shipping for you. And it worked perfectly that way. So I got into working with a designer. She diligently put everything together for me. And I figured, why not make this first edition something with my favorite 100 stories from the page and see how it goes with people. And people started to love it. I mean, they were asking for it. I mean, it was during the holidays that I released it on the webpage in 2017.
That was smart. That's a good stocking stuffer there.
It just happened. Yeah. I'm still working on my marketing strategies, but I figured, yeah, it's a good idea. So people were really a big fan of it. And then I figured, okay, let me work on number two. And that didn't happen until 2019. So December of 19. Because in the midst of that, I was working with school applications and going to school myself. So times got a little busy for me. But I had a great time working with the same designer and she was amazing in helping me not only put in more stories this time, I had 150 stories in the second edition, second volume, I should say. But I figured let me do something different and actually put a world map on the page and then put little pinned locations to actually show people how many different places I'm getting stories from.
That is very cool. My wife, she actually ordered a map of the world, and she's actually doing that. All the places that we've traveled, she's actually putting a pin on there, on the place that we've traveled, so we could just kind of see all the places that we've been in the world. So that's actually very cool. Very cool.
I love that idea. Yeah, so it's awesome to see it actually be translated into this book. And then I started getting requests for calendars. So that one was a little bit of a more new territory for me, because Amazon doesn't do self-publishing for desk calendars. And I especially wanted a desk calendar. I feel like that's something of my own preference. Wall calendars might be a possibility in the future for another time. But I figured, let me look into different companies and see what works out. And I was able to get something very last minute to be published. And it was ready by the beginning of the year.
Sweet.
It was amazing.
Awesome.
Yeah, so that's my latest project. I've had a lot of people asking for it to be shipped. And I think it's a wonderful addition to the office for optometry students, for optometrists, opticians, just using it in the office. It has a quote for each month on each page for all 12 months, which makes it even funnier. so it's a nice thing to look back on and just laugh about until I work on future editions of the calendar. Yeah, it's really fun.
For those that may be interested in actually purchasing one of these items, what's the best way for them to go about getting it?
Great question. So I've been kind of pitching it on my page, but all you need to do is message your name, your email address, and your shipping address. With that email, you will receive an invoice. All you do is pay $10 for the calendar, $15 if you're international, and that's it. I will ship it that day.
Awesome.
And I've already had a few people, like Dr. Damaris Raimondi. She received, I think, the first batch of calendars that I sent out, and it makes me so happy.
Oh, she's in New York, right?
Yeah, she's in New York.
Yeah. I follow her online. She does an amazing job with social media, and I think she also launched a podcast sometime last year as well. So
yeah,
she's another influencer in the industry, really making some waves and some noise, and we got to get her on the show sooner than later. So we're going to make that happen.
Definitely. She's one of the first people that I interviewed for my little series that I'm going on and off called We the Pupil.
Yeah.
So I don't do podcasts, but I do written interviews.
Yeah.
And I try to just highlight different people in the eye care industry and how they're making their own contribution to the field. So when I saw her work, I was like, this is amazing. We need to highlight it, because she was doing missions at the time. So that's another amazing thing about Overheard Optometry. It's actually opened the doors for me to meet different types of eye care professionals, not necessarily optometrists only, but optometry students, people actually dedicating something of other types of talents to the field. It's amazing. It's been a real eye-opener for me.
I love it. Well, if anyone wants to follow you online, whether it's Instagram or Facebook, what's your social media handle so they can check you out?
So on Instagram, it is Overheard Optometry. And on Facebook, it is also Overheard Optometry. Very simple, very easy to remember. If you ever need to email something or ask any questions or submit your own story via email, overheardoptometry@gmail.com.
Thank you for being on the show, and we look forward to seeing volume 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I mean, this is something that the eye care industry is going to want to have every year. You started something that you have to finish. So every year we're looking forward to more content, all right?
Thank you. You got it. You have my word.
Okay, it's a wrap. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to hang out with Defocus Media. We hope something resonated with you today. Please subscribe to our podcast, and remember, we keep it 2020 around here, pun intended. We look forward to seeing you next time.